Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Sherry, you sound very far off. I don't know if it's me.
Is that better?
Much better.
Okay.
Here was our assignment. Nothing in life is to be feared. It is only to be understood. Ego, the illusion of a self separate from life, is what we experience as fear. Ego is not real. Fear is not real. They're made up, imaginary, existing only in a story and conditioned mind. Great fun for children is sitting around a campfire listening to scary stories. It's exciting and thrilling. Most adults are listening to scary stories inside their head and not finding it exciting or thrilling. The stories in conditioned mind are no more real than spooky campfire stories, but the you need to be afraid stories adults hear are not enjoyed because they're believed without scrutiny. When we bring conscious, compassionate awareness to anything, we see through the made-up stories and directly touch authenticity. Today, practice is that so each time you become aware of a scary story being told inside your head. Bring conscious, compassionate awareness to the story and RL the truth you see. All right, shall we hear from our first caller? Sherry?
Yes. I'm sorry. let me tell you what I'm doing, okay? And then you'll know I'm having all these problems. I was taking a shower, and there was a spider showering with me. So I rescued the spider, got it on a towel, and then was attempting to take it outside where it decided it would rather run up my arm than stay with the towel and go outside. So there's a lot of drama going on here behind the scenes. So I apologize for divided attention.
Well, and the spiders are not scary.
Not at all. Just cute and really not into showering.
All right, here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hello, Andrea.
Hi. I guess I'm kind of calling to connect, and I think I've seen a few things, and I guess in response to fear, I definitely am noticing stories and conditioning about that. I'm sure everybody is. And also it's a little more pronounced because of some content yesterday. So of course it goes to, you know, the absolute worst stories and scenarios and things. So what I've been looking at is my feelings and emotions and the practice. And I guess what's been coming up is having some strong feelings and looking at that, and there was a lot of confusion for me about that. So on my
May
way
I?
Home, yes. Oh, sure.
May I right there at that juncture? It's a perfect juncture.
Sure.
So we're told that we're looking at our feelings, at sensations mm-hmm. and emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is guide us not to look at what's actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Which produces the confusion, because what's orchestrating the whole thing is the conversation inside the head.
Yeah, so actually it was interesting because luckily what I decided to do on my way home was I did the two-handed exercise.
Very good.
Yeah, and that was really helpful. I shared, and then I listened, and then I felt like I needed to share again and listen again. And then it took me like three sharings before I felt like there was kind of the mentor arising. So I share, listen, share, yes. listen, share, listen.
Yes, yeah. And just for anybody who isn't into that or hasn't realized this, the reason that that works is that you cannot be doing that exercise and giving all of your attention to and identifying with the story in conditioned mind.
Mm-hmm.
When you do that exercise, you automatically step back from that collusion with egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Right? So the person who has been listening to that, the person who's actually having the experience gets to talk, and you get to listen from that stepped back place. There's no attention left over for, oh my God, we're all going to die.
Yes.
Kind of a miracle, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a miracle. I mean, as a matter of fact, I was listening to it in the car and over my speaker system, and so it was almost like I was doing my own radio show, because I thought...
Good. Excellent, huh?
Yeah, so it was interesting because I was so, like, there was so much going on that I was just like, I didn't even want to talk. I felt like totally shut down, like someone was describing in one of the shows recently. But, you know, I forced myself to do it, and you know, it really helped. And the other thing I saw is
May I interrupt you one more time
just to
underline what you're saying?
The
person having the experience gets completely shut down when all the attention is on conditioned mind. So, you know, there's somebody trapped at the bottom of the well, right? And there's the person at the top of the well screaming, oh, my God, this is awful. Oh, my God, this is awful. Okay? This is not helpful to the person who's trapped at the bottom of the well. All the attention goes to the hysteria of ego, and the person who's actually having the experience is abandoned. So that's just a really critical aspect of it for us to realize. So, of course, I don't want to do it, because ego is the one being asked. And ego wants to stand there at the top of the well screaming, this is all about me, ain't it awful?
Yeah, and ego, I mean, really, it was, you know, I maybe there was conversation. I mean, I'm sure there was, but really the way that person was experiencing it all was huge feelings and sensations and stuff. And the other thing that I saw was that ego was trying to use the practice to basically minimize everything and basically say, the quality of your life is determined by the focus of your attention. Let's just not focus on this.
Yes, let's just attend to conditioned mind. That's
yeah,
what it's really saying. Yeah. And now one more thing. I just have to because otherwise, you know, it's difficult for us to catch on to this. That big emotion, all those sensations would not be there if there weren't a story.
Yeah, definitely.
So we may not be listening to it, but there's the meaning. And we are, by the time we reach adulthood, all we have to hear is, oh, no, and conditioning is off and running. And there's huge sensation, huge emotion, and then, of course, that's what's fueling the beliefs and assumptions, and the person is in hell.
Yeah, that's helpful that you said that, because that really that clarifies it. And the other thing is just that, you know, it's just insidious how ego can use practice, because then what it does is it makes all the tools confusing, because then, you know, basically I'm taking a practice tool in service of ego, and that's something that we really have to be cautious about.
Yes. And that's an excellent point. That system will use everything, and practice is no exception. So that's the power of doing what you did. just pick up a tool and use it. Don't get into a conversation about, well, but maybe you shouldn't, and maybe you're just escaping, and maybe what you should be. No. The two-handed recording exercise is the fastest way for me to hear the person who's being tormented and reach that person through the mentor. Boom.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have to have any conversations about it, right?
Yeah.
And then I love your put it on the speakers in the car.
Yeah.
Wrap around sound.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, the other one more point I noticed was that there was also this conversation of figuring it out, like,
yes.
You know, which still is getting me, which is when do I notice my feelings and just let them go versus when do I act on my feelings?
Yes. Well, and of course, I will give you the answer.
Okay.
Right? So, and then I'll give you the answer, and then you can prove it to yourself, okay? This is what the Buddha taught, right? Don't take my word for it. I'm going to say this, and then it's up to you to do all the work and see if we get to the same place, okay?
Sure.
So the answer is never act on your feelings.
Wow.
Never.
Great.
Ever. Because what you've laid out is all the proof any of us would ever need that they can't be trusted. They're completely orchestrated, manipulated, confused. You know, it's a mess.
Mm-hmm.
So we get through that whole process. We stay still. We pay attention. We come back to the breath. We get here, and we wait for life to drop in. What now? And it will.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the midst of all of that chaos, because the guidance is there. We just can't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it won't shout at us.
That's so helpful. And in a way, that's kind of what happened after I did the two-chair exercise. So thank you for thank you for summarizing that so that, you know, in such a helpful way.
Breaking it down, huh? Breaking it down.
Yeah.
So this is this. And because what you're saying that's so helpful to all of us is conditioning does this, then this, then this, then this, then this. And at each one of those junctures, there's an opportunity for us to get present. But the conditioning is so big and deep to just leap over that and go right into the next conditioned story. So learning to diagram it like we just did is really helpful, because now you're going to be looking for those transition points and realizing, ooh, I can stop here for a little bit and see what life is offering.
Yeah.
Very good. Very helpful.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Andrea. I love that image of the person at the bottom of the well and then the ego screaming at the top. And it's just such a wonderful experience to have to do the two-handed recording exercise and recognize that we don't have to parse any of those things, that in doing it, especially like Andrea did it, which is over and over again till she felt heard, that we do get to that person. How we do that or how it all happens, I think that the very movement of picking up the recorder to do the two-handed recording exercise invites the process that outside
we
of
could
the,
say
the
we're,
figuring it
we
out.
We could say we're already there, right? That we've done the first follow life's guidance.
Yes.
It drops in. Pick up the recorder and we do it. Then everything else in a shockingly short period of time is going to come together. Forever? No. Will we still get bamboozled? Absolutely. Because there's new content, there's new stuff, new experiences all the time for us to practice being with life instead of being with conditioning.
And it is being with life, because it is what's going on, and that person at the top of the hill does not actually want to face what's going on. And the 200 recording exercise assists us to be in compassion with whatever is going on, but we have to really get to it.
Yes, yes, and that yeah. it's such a, you know, it is a good image because if we can imagine, so there's the person at the top of the well screaming in hysteria, right? How awful all this is, never mentioning what's awful, right? Mm-hmm. So here come the camera crews and all the people, and there's no mention of the person down at the bottom of the well,
mm-hmm.
right? So they,
mm-hmm.
they're just trying to figure out how to help this person up at the top, right?
Yes.
Well, that person's
mm-hmm.
ego, it's not there to get help. It's there to get attention. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Well, here's our next caller, Sherry.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Esther.
Hello, Esther.
I'm having practically a heart still stand. This is really
you
weird.
Have to breathe.
Okay.
For a minute there. Yeah.
Yeah. That is really weird. Oh. Okay. I get what's going on here, but I am going to report back to what I have been practicing with the recorder, because I have been intensifying for the times that I pick up the recorder, and I do it outside because I have noticed, well, I noticed that after I was doing that, I didn't do it intentionally when I started it out this way. I go outside, walk in nature, and record, and even though it's in my right hand, I'm not speaking from ego, I've noticed. It was really strange. It was like, what's going on here? And then this little, how do I say that? Like this little slither was coming in like, well, you're not speaking from the right hand. This is mentor speaking. You know, this is not the way it's supposed to be. And I was like, wait a minute here. I'm describing what's going on with the body, with the senses, hearing, the wind blowing past my skin, all those things. So I was like, this is right here, right now. Mm-hmm. And I did that every time. And it was just so, I don't really have words for it, because I would also was listening back to that every time and listening back. And I had the story going on of how I'm not practicing the way it's supposed to be done.
Well,
and that,
well,
you know,
Esther.
Yes.
Esther.
Yes.
You had the recorder
yes.
in the right hand when that was arising, right?
Yes.
So you could just say, and now what the voice is saying is that I'm not actually practicing because the recorder's in the wrong hand. And that is just ridiculous. I'm out here walking in nature recording. Of course I'm practicing. That is a ridiculous thing to hear. Then if you wanted to, you know, you could let the person talk who hears that and goes, well, but, and can be a little defensive. Well, yes, I am practicing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath that, somebody might be a little thrown off. Maybe slightly confused. Maybe, but maybe this isn't, because they say it should be in the gang. So now you've reached somebody that it's really helpful to hear from. You with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meaning that somebody is, because this is what I literally heard. The voice saying was, this was my connection with what I so long for, the connection from within. I might be not be saying it all correctly, because if I go to it, I get all emotional.
Yes. Well, what I'm speaking to, not
yeah.
what happens when you're out in nature and you're walking and you're, you know, you're in touch with what's going on with your body and your emotions and all your senses and that. I'm talking about what happens. Who is there to hear Well, but you're not practicing. You're supposed to have the recorder in your right hand so that you listen to this. This is the mentor. Who's that voice? And who? It's not a who, okay? It's a what? It's the voice of ego. But it's somebody's receiving that. Somebody's hearing that.
That voice of ego.
Yeah. So somebody, you know, you're going along, you're doing your little exercise, and then the voice of the devil slides in and says, yeah, but you're not really practicing. That's the voice of the mentor. That's not what you're supposed to be doing in this exercise. Are you with me?
I'm not sure.
Well, maybe, you know, if you get a chance, listen to this again. Now,
I will.
Completely misunderstood what you said, that there's always that very real possibility. But if I didn't, then I think you'll get a chance to see a deeper, if we can, level of how conditioned mind is trying to take over the experience, wanting to
suppress
doubt.
Yeah, but when I heard it, because I think I even, while it was happening, I was saying, no, this is what I am experiencing right here, right now.
Uh-huh.
But maybe I'm not understanding your deeper meaning. I'll listen again.
Well, it's that process. So just to keep an eye on how that comes in other places in your life, how that same voice slides in to try to get you to question yourself, question what you're doing, question your practice, question what you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay? It's that voice,
yeah.
That ego voice of doubt. And what I was pointing at with that,
yeah,
is that somebody in you hears that. So when you're centered or close to center, then it's a different experience from when you are not centered and that voice of doubt slips in and questions your motivations or your insights or that sort of thing. So I'm hoping that you will get a sense of how it comes in and does that, and the response inside of you that might be a very might be ripe for a two-handed exercise.
Okay, so then when there is that I'll call it awareness for lack of another way of expressing it. If I get it that happens, that I then switch the hand and let that hand speak or through that position? Is that what you mean?
I think it would be really interesting that you get in touch with who, if we want to say it that way, who hears those doubt-producing messages. What in you responds to those, believes them, gets confused by it, gets thrown off? Can you let that part of you talk about what it feels like to try to be practicing and then have these subterranean sabotage movements coming at them? And then let the mentor speak to that.
Okay, gotcha.
Good. Oh, I'll be eager.
Yeah. Ooh. Ooh. Okay.
This is subtle. Okay. I mean, it's subtle stuff that we're playing with here. But
I think it, even while listening to you, it's happening. So when this is over, I'm gonna talk to it that way.
There you go. All right.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, Gosho.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Sherry. Bye-bye, Ashwani.
Bye, Esther. Sure, it looks like we have time for one more caller. So next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura. Oh, my gosh, that was so fun. That was really helpful and fun. Let me ask you this.
Yes. It was helpful and fun. I'm guessing you went with it, recognized it in
yourself.
Right
there.
Okay, good. Good.
I was right there this morning, even to the degree of playing it in surround sound in my car. So I was right there with Esther.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was an interesting place because this morning I had a dental appointment early and I was late. And so I was late enough that they couldn't fit me in. And I watched a whole karmic process come up around, you know, one side of, you know, it's not fair, you know, and I tried really hard and all of this very entitled energy. And then on the other side of it, a berating for the person, you know, for being late. And so when I made the recording, the minute I made the recording and could hear it, and then yesterday's show was in my awareness around, you know, how, or maybe, I don't remember where it was, but the shame and guilt getting a hold of it. And as I was talking authentically from, I don't actually even think it's a part of me that's entitled, it's ego's entitled. And that's what was able to get called out was ego gets entitled. And then I just started chuckling and was able to get the distance from it. And which then let me play with a bigger content with that it just when the show started, it just dropped in. Oh, my gosh, I bet this is the same process. So my mother has dementia, and there was an episode that happened in the last couple of days where a lot of drama, a lot of people screaming at the top of the well, and my mom's down there at the bottom of the well, disoriented, and I've been going to this place of, well, I don't know. I've never dealt with dementia. Like, I don't, you know, because everyone's coming to me for being, you know, what should we do? And I'm like, I don't know. And so seeing how there wasn't a centered or a innocent, like, I don't know. It was a ego, I don't know.
Why are you asking me? Why are you putting this on me? Yeah, so I have opinions about everything all the rest of the time, but now, why are you looking at me? Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and then that gets buried under, well, I should know, so let's come up with something, even though I don't know, and try and look smart. So that was, it was just fascinating, and there was a place of conditioning really wanting to use fear around this because it's your mother. And if you do something wrong, you know, all of that stuff. And so just using practice and these tools to assist this person to be in a stepped back position with content, whether it's being late to the dentist or, you know, something more heavily, well, they can all be heavily charged because conditioning can make everything a big deal.
Yes, except being on time. It's not going to make that
time.
A big deal, right? Yeah.
Which is how I started with this. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And the thing that to me is so exciting about this for you is that what you're really closing in on is duality, the process of duality, which is huge. Because what you're pointing at, what we can all see from this, if we look at it this way, is every single conversation in conditioned mind is a duality. And what conditioned mind is doing is just hopping back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. In this case, it's them. Those people in that dental office, they are so but no, it's you. If you were on time, then you wouldn't have, and why can't you ever be on time? Okay, and then we go to your mother. I don't know. Well, you should know. Well, I don't know. Well, you should know. Okay. Well, this is really important. Well, when you're so egocentric, sure, it's important because it's your mother. Well,
yep.
It is my mother. It is important. So you can see that in every single situation, it's just hopping back and forth from it's their fault, it's your fault. It's their fault,
yep.
It's your fault.
Yep. And everyone loses in that.
Everyone loses except ego. Ego is always the winner, because no matter what side of the duality it presents, no matter what side you're on, all the attention is on it. However,
on the radio show yesterday was powerful about that. Sorry.
Oh, good.
Mm.
Well, and the good news about this is that you are disidentifying. You are stepping back and watching it. And so the thing that we have to keep in mind about that is the fact that I'm watching it doesn't mean it has anything to do with me. In fact, quite the contrary. Because that's what it's going to want to do next, is make the fact that you get caught in duality about you.
Okay.
So you just keep watching the duality and start noticing what it feels like to be in that stepped back, disidentified, observing place. Just noticing that, trusting that life is going to give you everything you need in every situation if you're stepped back enough and breathing to hear it. Just like it did. Right? Just like it did in these situations.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. And that brings us to the end of another show, Sherry.
And another week.
Here's another time. And another week.
Gosh.
And here's our assignment.
Okay.
Greed is so well organized that we call it economic prosperity. Ill will is so organized that we call it defense and we make weapons and war. Ignorance is so well organized that we study about everything except ourselves. I try to decrease the thoughts in my mind. If we stopped thinking, we'd have no problems. The Buddha taught that greed, hate, and delusion make this world of suffering go around. That's often challenging for people to get because those words seem so extreme. We're conditioned to believe the Buddha was pointing at extraordinary events such as world wars or corrupt rulers who amass enormous wealth while their citizens starve. As the quote makes clear, greed, hate, and delusion do so well because they're able to hide in plain sight. And of course, the additional support they receive is that we're conditioned to feel bad and guilty when we see any of those qualities in ourselves. We're trained not to see them, so we won't have to feel bad or guilty. If we don't take egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate personally, we don't have the problems it creates, and compassionate choices are ours to make. Today, notice that a problem disappears each time you stop thinking the thoughts that are creating and maintaining it.
Well, that is a good and challenging exercise, isn't it?
It is. I forgot the RL at the end of it, which makes it easier.
Yes. So we record and listen about our experience of what happens when we drop the thinking, creating and maintaining the problems. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry, and see you on Monday.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.